So Pablo Torre is playing the role of Dan Le Batard today.
Where's your hat, Pablo?
Yeah, I don't have my
age inappropriate apparel.
My skateboarder outfit. It's not.
You don't
it's
look
not
sweaty
working
enough
right now.
either, by the way. And you're definitely not close enough to the camera.
Yeah. Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Le Batard. That's Mina Kimes. That's Dominique Foxworth. I am sweating through all of my clothes. Let's get started.
Holy smokes! Is the Washington professional football team actually going to change its name?
I don't want to praise FedEx of all companies for taking this long to send a message, but it seems like it is happening. It seems like it is all happening. And on this show, very conspicuously, we have done a very good job over the years of collectively avoiding saying the racial slur in question. But now FedEx is on board, Nike has taken off merchandise from its website, and a bunch of investors and other companies have culminated in the actual team releasing this statement where they say said racial slur quite a bit, but they also promise to review the name, therefore hinting that this thing is actually over. And guys, I want to give people credit for this, but it also kind of feels like they are sticking their finger in the wind and saying, which way is the money blowing? And it seems like right now there's a lot of corporate cover for a thing that should have taken, I don't know, not a very long time to actually get fixed.
You're right, Pablo. We've spent so much time trying to figure out what it would actually take for Dan Snyder to change his mind, psychoanalyzing him as a person. We all know about his well-documented obsession with the name dating back to his childhood, when really it was always going to come down to Dan Snyder, the businessman, because financially this has become untenable for the team, not just because Nike is no longer selling their gear or because the naming sponsor and their CEO, who is a minority owner, are putting pressure on Dan Snyder, but because at some point he's going to have to find a new sponsor. At some point, they're going to have to make business deals. At some point, they would like to move to Washington, D.C., where the mayor just said, you're not welcome unless you change their name. So while Dan Snyder, as you said, has turned a deaf ear to this issue for so long, money talks louder, at least to him.
So let's get down to the really important stuff, guys. Logistics. How are they going to make this turnaround? Like, they have to change the name between now and September. They got to print out all new logos. They got to print out new helmet stickers. They got to change all their jerseys and coats and stuff. Like, that's a big problem. How is Dan Snyder going to financially capitalize on being forced to be woke?
Think of the stickers. Think of the merch. But seriously, though, Mina, there's a massive opportunity here. I mean, obviously, I think of like Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling was penalized more publicly than anybody in NBA history. He wound up an even richer billionaire. In this case, the merch opportunities, let alone the renaming of this team, that is such a massive revenue stream.
Yeah, there are suggestions out there already that are actually cool, like the Washington Redhawks, the Washington Red Tails, which to your point, Dominique, maybe they could just slap on like the word and, you know, duct tape it over the existing word, save money, keep the colors. But I don't know if you guys saw the odds that came out for the new name. I realize odds from a random internet website are not the greatest source, but they're really lame. It's like the Washington Presidents, the Washington Monuments, the Washington Generals, or my favorite, the Washington Capitals with an O. That won't cause any confusion at all.
I like how part of this strategy, because Dominique framed this problem this way, is like an episode of Tattoo Nightmares. It's like, how do we possibly reconfigure this without actually removing any of the original ink? How about we just rip everything up? We are in the greatest, most fertile time for ripping stuff up. And so, yes, if you want to lean all the way in, Washington football team, and just become the Washington Capitalists, go ahead.
Does it make sense for the NBA to do a loser bubble?
Man, I don't know who wanted this. It seems, according to Tom Haberstroh, that the teams involved didn't necessarily want this. He was tweeting yesterday that there is no consensus at all between the teams that would go into the loser bubble that this would happen. Several of the people involved, executives, don't want it to happen. Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Pistons, said he'd rather have a mini camp and pulled coaches among the losers. And they all said, yeah, we don't want to be in the loser bubble. But this does feel like that magical thing that keeps our world running, which is a TV right. And so it would probably happen, but I don't know if anybody actually is interested, because I wouldn't want to watch these teams in the regular season, let alone this weird abbreviated loser regular season.
Well, I mean, I assume that this was like leaked to him as a trial balloon to see how the public reacts to it. And all of our reaction is like, nah, this is foolish. But what it's done for me is really made me reconsider the first bubble in the first place, because I would say, no, there's no reason to do a loser bubble. You don't even get a championship. And then I rethink, like, so why are we doing this other bubble? We're putting people at risk so that we can give somebody a Larry O'Brien trophy. Like, this is backfire for me personally. I want the basketball to happen. I want to watch it, but I feel a little grosser about it after they forced me to confront the only reason why I wanted to happen is because I'm selfish.
So there is a health argument for the loser bubble. I mean, we're killing it by calling it the loser bubble, right?
That's it's the real issue. Right now that like, we started we've calling already it. Branded it the loser bubble.
There's a health reason, which is the NBA is saying we can do a better job of enforcing a rigorous standard than you guys can back in your home cities. That's up for debate, I think, whether or not that's true. But psychologically, you're right. This makes no sense. It is insulting to the players. It is the equivalent of being that 13-year-old at Thanksgiving who's told, you still got to sit at the kids' table. You are not old enough to hang with the adults. Go sit next to your 9-year-old cousin who eats his boogers, aka the Knicks. And all you want to do is take your turkey, go back to your room, aka your home city, and watch TikToks.
My favorite part, by the way, of all of this is that there was a conference call, apparently, and the Knicks were the one team that was not on it, because presumably they were not just hiring a coach and were too busy to join the call, but they were too busy being off in their bedroom eating all of their boogers.
Coming up next on my Soul's TV show.
Oh, wow. That is an osprey carrying a shark.
No, that can't be a shark.
Highly Questionable is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach, part of Happy Hour.
Do you question who the apex predator of the ocean is?
So all the producers told us is that we are going out to Myrtle Beach. Let's see what we got. Oh, wow. That is an osprey carrying a shark.
No, that can't be a shark.
I mean, feels shark-like, and this is majestic.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's not a shark. That's got to be like a fish that happens to have a fin, and it's an optical illusion that makes you think it's a shark. There's no way there's a bird that large.
I actually thought that was Mina carrying Pablo to the top of the podcast world.
Actually, this does remind me of another metaphor, if we can throw up this video involving another bird. Because this is really Mina dropping me off in the podcast world. That would be a hawk with a snake podcast. Welcome to ESPN Daily.
Download, rate, and review.
The direction I was going to go in with the original video was that optical illusion reminded me of our conversation yesterday about people being deceptively large or small when they're positioned next to other people. And I don't know if you saw Dominique Pablo boasted about being 5'10".
That's right.
And a lot of people had thoughts, including this one.
No, this is cruel and surgical. And for the record, it's not that I have a short man's neck. That too is an optical illusion. What I have are very high shoulders.
Okay.
I have high shoulders.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but Dominique,
why is he allowed to do
visibly stood up, like sat up in his chair, trying to look tall, and for the first time.
Do you question if both of these guys are better athletes than Dominique Foxworth?
We do like to make fun of Dominique Foxworth on this show. We did it earlier this week with some guys backflipping repeatedly down a sandy dune of some sort. But now we go out to a social gathering, perhaps a wedding of some kind.
This is absurd. This is absurd.
Wow.
Whoa! Whoa!
No!
Whoa!
Yo!
That's not a normal family. That's got to be like a circus family or something.
I don't appreciate you guys feigning your being impressed. Like, that's not, I mean, I think that it is impressive if you just walk into a wedding and you see some lame-os doing those type of balance tricks. But this was set up as a comparison to a world-class athlete. Like, that is where your level should lie, and that is not world-class athleticism. That's dance floor class. Like, that one environment, they're the best in that environment. But when you bring them out to the wider world, there are only so many people who are world-class. You're looking at one of them.
Highly Questionable is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. In Orlando, Florida, MLS is back.
So the MLS is back. That is the name of their actual event because no one has any creativity at this point. But there is a problem because they're apparently charging between $45 and $65 for this. These are the meals for professional athletes.
Oh, wow.
Huh?
Is that like a roast beef sandwich?
Yep.
Oh,
that's a banana.
That's a fire fest situation.
I've always said that we should just give everybody Lunchables, throw a Capri Sun on there, and suddenly it's very delightful. But Mina Kimes, are you intrigued?
So on one hand, that is absolutely bonkers and a terrible value. On the other hand, yesterday, I ate a sandwich consisting of the two ends of a loaf and cream cheese. That's it. No protein, no sauce, no vegetables, cream cheese, because that was all that was left in my refrigerator. I would kill for a sad turkey sandwich.
I think the saddest part of that is the two ends. Two ends. So do you flip them on their back so that you trick yourself so it's not ends? Or do you do the ends? Like, what's the move there, Mina?
Yeah. I had the ends on the outside, and I pretended it was a panini, but I also didn't press it like a panini.
That is a sad mental image that you have painted. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I am the guy who might possibly overpay for something because I believe that it's they're charging more because it's more delicious. But even I say no in this situation. Like, it's a box sandwich with some lunch meat that is highly processed. Like, that's too much money for not enough food.
The only way that answer would have been better is if you lifted your arm and showed us one of your Rolexes.
Oh, man, I won't do that to y'all.
Tomorrow at noon on ESPN, the Nathan's Hot Dog Competition.
So this is actually the first event I ever covered for Sports Illustrated. This is how I began my professional career. And now friend of the show, Mike Golic Jr., is calling the event, which is cosmically perfect in every possible way. So here in his honor is our highly questionable preview.
Fastest hot dog shooter. I've never seen nobody be able to do this. I can do it quick. Okay. I'm just saying.
Whoa!
We're gonna go viral with this one.
What in the? I would say that was camera tricks, but based on all the other evidence that we have there, I'm not sure they have the capacity to pull off any sort of camera tricks. That is disgusting and impressive.
I had no idea Kid Rock could do that.
I mean, you're looking for a better athlete than me. I think we found him.
That's all the time we have today. Thank you for watching. That's Mina Kimes. You can listen to her on The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, as well as ESPN Daily, a podcast I'm about to claim via eminent domain. And that's Dominique Foxworth of The Undefeated. You can find him trying to learn how to backflip in his yard all weekend.
Make sure everyone knows that it took you 6 times to nail this out.
It's going to take you 100 times to nail that backflip.
What face is that, man?
This is the Asian move. It's how you frame your face.
Yeah.
Come on, Dominique, do it with us.
If you don't have a strong jawline, this is a real good solution.
Well,
do
I don't
it,
have that problem.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
That's not how you build alliances. That's not how you build alliances.
That is not an optimal angle.